we're the first ones to sort of say, oh, you know, that's not, you know, I'm not that great, or I don't think I've got anything to offer. But to be honest, in many cases, we've created entire beings, we've cared for them, or we've cared for other people or our fur babies. You know, we are, as a, I guess, as a gender, we are nurturing. That is the whole idea of what our hormones are designing us to do.
Are you ready to break the silence and embrace the transformative journey of perimenopause? Well, you're in the right place. We are Natalie and Lisa, your hosts, and this is the podcast that's rewriting the script on perimenopause.
Join us in embracing the strength within, awakening dormant power, and closing the knowledge gap. We're here to inspire great health and ensure every woman is seen and heard.
Get ready for expert insights, relatable stories, and a community that gets it. Unleash your perimenopause power. It's time to own your story. Well, hello, listeners, and welcome back to another episode of Perimenopause Power. We are joined by Tanya Rutherford, who is a menopausal mum from central Queensland, passionate about supporting other women through and beyond their menopause experience. With a diverse career from accounting and business management through to personal and professional development, Tanya shines when it comes to enabling and empowering others to realize their potential. Whether that is adult learners through her Learn to Learn programs, or women experiencing menopause or perimenopause through her Queen Bee initiative. A coach, a learning experience facilitator, community manager, podcast host, founder, and chief everything officer, Tanya gets the challenges of life, work, keeping it real, and creating the space for play. We are excited by this conversation as Tanya offers yet another perspective in supporting menopausal women, particularly for those women who are in regional or remote areas. We hope you enjoy this conversation.
So thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Tanya. It's really nice to hear your bio and what you've been up to. You've got a rich background in empowering learners and menopausal women through your businesses, Learn, Grow, Become, and Queen Bee. Could you share a bit more about you, your journey, and what has inspired you to start these ventures?
Sure. It's an interesting one because I first started getting passionate about the idea of supporting women when I was as a mum going to swimming classes, and I'd be talking to other mums, and the number of women I was talking to who were like, oh, you know, I want to get a job and I want to get back into the workforce now that I've had my kids and everything, but they didn't have the confidence to do that. They were like, oh, I can't get an admin job, you know, I haven't got enough experience. And I'm there thinking, oh my gosh, as a mum, you have got so much experience, but you don't have the confidence to sell it. And I couldn't work out how I could help them because obviously, you know, if you're a business, you need to make money, and how do you charge when you're wanting to do this one-on-one stuff? So that kind of, I guess, sat in the back of my mind as something I really wanted to do, but I just couldn't work out exactly how to do that. Now, that was back in about 2015. So it was before, you know, everything went, you know, chaotic and online and stuff. And then at the time, or a bit later than that, I was working with students at our local university, and I was doing a graduate certificate in tertiary education. So it's all about how to teach students. And I just sort of I felt like there was something missing. And I finally triggered what it was. I was working with student mentors at the time. So I was having conversations with students every day about their challenges and what was missing. And I suddenly realized that if we help students learn how to learn for themselves, so they could drive their own learning experience. So they would understand how their brain worked, how they could fit learning as part of their very complex lives. We're not just students these days. So we have to think of it from a whole of self perspective. Now, when I was designing this, I was still thinking about the women coming back in. And so it's very much designed around that sense of you've got caring responsibilities. You know, how do you fit that in? How do you build your own confidence? You know, what is your mindset? And of course, learning strategies as well. And we're all different. So here's a whole lot of different learning experiences. This is how they work. You need to then experiment and work out what's going to work for you. And I worked on that for quite a while. COVID happened, no one had money, all that sort of jazz. And I still worked on trying to get that out there through universities. And it got to a point last year where I just got so exhausted and really burnt out from trying to push into that space. And I really sat back and I spent a lot of time last year reflecting through what was the driving force for me? Where did I want to make a difference? And how could I do that best, knowing all my experiences and all my skill set? And I kept coming back to, I really love the idea of helping women to realize their potential and to really help them find what it is they need to do and how they can actually achieve and succeed and feel great about themselves. And being regionally based, I could see a lot of the challenges that we have that may be different from what they have in the city. And so I started Queen Bee last year, and at the time it was very much around, let's bring the voices of regional women into the forefront. You know, there's so much experience and so many different challenges and opportunities that we don't hear about. So how do we bring that forward? And we created the Queen Bee podcast and had a great opportunity of interviewing women from all across Australia and sharing their stories. And for me at the time, I was also really struggling with menopause. OMG. It was just, and more of the stories and the women that I was talking to were also either going through it, had gone through it, or, you know, didn't know what was all about. So at the start of this year, you know, we evolved again, pivoted, if you like, but we need to really focus on this menopause stuff because there isn't enough out there. And I know I had absolutely no idea when a girlfriend said to me, I think you might have perimenopause. I was like, what the is that? I've never heard of the term before. And I had no concept of what it was. I thought it was something that happened to old women, right? I don't know how old women are. They get older every day that I get older. So they're probably about, you know, 70. And the more I started researching it, the more I realized that our doctors don't know what's going on. You know, women don't know what's going on. We don't know what to look for. We're not sure what it is. And sometimes we think we're going completely crazy. And so we sort of, it then morphed into, okay, well, we've now just relaunched our new season of Queen Bee and it's very much focused on menopause. So what is menopause about? What is it from different perspectives? What are the stories? But very much sharing those lived experiences, because I think that's where we really get, where we get the value and the gold from each other. We're not in this alone. And the more that we can share and promote those stories and the resources, the more informed we are about ourselves and also understanding how this is a natural part of life, but it's not easy. And we can do things that are going to make it easier. And part of that is being connected.
You make such great points, Tanya. And, you know, we've been doing this work for 4 or 5 years and it's amazing, and maybe not amazing, but it just still goes to show how much is unknown about this phase and how many women still come up against the blockages around what is perimenopause, what is menopause, what am I going through? I'd love to unpack a little bit what you spoke about around regional women. What unique challenges do you see that regional women are facing as they enter perimenopause and beyond? And what are some of their experiences that might differ from women in urban areas?
Sure. And I guess what I'm going to say is coming from a regional perspective. So it has all those assumptions around what might be available in town that we don't get. And I think one of those is access to medical services. Like for me, for example, I've made the decision that I want to go on menopause hormone therapy, but it's over a month before I can see my doctor to have that conversation, which is why we need to get the information out there early, which is why people need to understand not just from their doctors what's going on, because quite often our doctors don't know. Like, you know, it's really common for women to share that their doctor said, oh, but you're too young. It happens at 51. Well, no, 51 is the average. It can happen, you know, at any time past puberty in reality. Definitely once you're over 35, your chances are going up all the time. But we don't have those conversations. We don't have those access to clinics, to specialist services, unless they're telehealth. Or we've got to, you know, fly to the local city. You know, for us, okay, Brisbane, I'm 8 hours drive from Brisbane, maybe 10, I'm not sure, I haven't done it. but it's, you know, at least a big flight, which is another expense. You've then got the cost of going, got to get to somewhere where there is an airport if you're in a remote area. It's really challenging. And I think the other element of that is that if you are someone who has other things going on, so no one really talks about the fact that, okay, if you've got a neural diversity perspective to your well-being, that menopause is going to play havoc with that. It's going to make any medications that you're on for anything do different things. Our hormones rule our body. They are everything about being a woman. And unless we realize that and really embrace it, we don't know that we're not going crazy. Like, I believe from the research that I've done that I lost my cousin to suicide because her specialist didn't appreciate that perimenopause was what she was going through and that it had an effect on her bipolar. She thought her brain was going completely. He said, it's not going to get any better. And she said, well, it's not worth it. I'm clocking out. You know, there's such a popular story. Our suicide rate in this age bracket is really high. And I would not be surprised if it's higher for regions. We don't know anything. We don't have necessarily the enough people to talk to or enough interest groups that we can meet with where we can have those conversations. You know, if you're in a, you know, on a farming station, for example, how often are you getting together with other women just to talk about what's going on in your bodies? You're not. You might be there for an event that you've put together, but you're focused on other things. I think the benefit of having, you know, the transition to online during COVID was that we could start connecting online. Things changed. The risk now is that everything's trying to go back to face-to-face, and that means that so many of our women, about 50% of our population, is not in the city. We need to appreciate that. And, you know, we need to make sure that we're supporting those people. I think, you know, it's easy to assume for me that in the city there's all these resources, and maybe there's not, but you can go places. You can go to see someone. That's not always an option. A lot of regional towns, they may struggle to even have a doctor that they can talk to who won't necessarily have any experience at all in menopause, in hormonal things, but that's the best that they've got. So how do we make sure that our medical experts know to refer people to places, that women are talking about these sorts of things openly, having the conversation so that we're not all suffering? I'm feeling very passionate now. I better calm down so we can go on to the next question.
We can feel your passion actually coming through the screen, Tanya, and you really do make some great points that, you know, city women, perhaps we take advantage of the accessible resources and the health professionals that we've got literally probably on our doorstep. And, you know, we have looked into the experiences of regional women too, and culturally diverse women as well. So women from different countries, and backgrounds. And, you know, usually a lot of the research and the evidence is around typical city-based metro Anglo-Saxon woman. And we're not thinking about all of the experiences that every woman have. And, you know, menopause is one piece of the puzzle for these women, but you overlap that with, you know, depending on their nationality background, depending on where they're who they have access to. There is so much that overlaps this phase of life, and we can't just wipe it or paint it with a typical cookie cutter approach, that we do need to be aware that there are women who are challenged by many different elements at this time of life, and we need to be aware of that.
I think we take things for granted too, actually, in the urban areas, don't we, in the city areas. And that's why we're so keen to get you on the podcast, Tanya, just to give that real regional feel for it. You know, we're talking about access to medical services, being able to talk openly. You know, it's bad enough that we're not talking openly in, you know, in the populated city areas around menopause. My God, what a stigma around it that we've got with regional women. And it's a little bit upsetting, I suppose, or disappointing to hear that, you know, we went online, everyone went online through the COVID years. And obviously going back to face-to-face is great, but I think for regional women, it's so important that we keep those online communities going, because it's not as easy that, you know, we just take that connection to catching up with our girlfriends so easily here. But in regional, it's just so much harder. And the isolation that some women must feel is really not great. So thank you for bringing that to the forefront for us to consider. Empowerment and living one's best life seem to be real wonderful central themes in your work. As far as taking on that feedback and, you know, the clients that you're working with, etc., what strategies have you found to be really effective for those helping those regional women embrace these concepts during perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause?
I think the big thing, and for us, it sort of applies for all of our adult life, is that we're very tough on ourselves. We think that we have to be everything. And as I like to say to people, Wonder Woman didn't have children. She didn't have a husband. She didn't have, you know, a demanding job or, you know, work or anything like that. She just showed up and, you know, saved the world. That's great. But we try and do the Wonder Woman and all the other stuff. And then we beat ourselves up when we can't do everything. So a lot of that is around that mind shift. And like the work you ladies do, that mindfulness thing, slowing down, being aware of what we're, you know, what we're committing ourselves to, what we're expecting of ourselves. And when it comes to that phase of menopause, our bodies, there's so much going on in our heads and our emotions and our bodies. It's like a reminder to us to say, okay, it's time for you to slow down. You've done your, you know, if you're someone who's had a family, you've done your creation thing. You've contributed in all these, I guess, the systemic expectation areas. You've had a career, perhaps. You've raised a family, perhaps. You've done all these things that are expected of you. When it comes to this post-menopause, which is, I guess, historically would have been the grandmother phase, although I'm a mum of young kids, we're all a bit different these days. But it's like, this is the time when you start thinking about, what do you actually want? What do you want to leave the world with? And that sounds very dramatic when you're in your midlife, but what impact do you want to have? What do you want to do that's going to make a difference, whether that is in your small family, your community, or, you know, globally, whatever that is, this is a time when you can let go of that, I need to look something for someone else. Our hormones are no longer driving us to worry about, you know, fitting in and being attractive to have babies and, you know, continue the species. It becomes more about, okay, we can become who we are if we let ourselves. So giving ourselves permission, thinking about what we want inside ourselves, but also outside of ourselves. So it's a huge mindset shift. And then once you've got that, and, you know, we work with women to help them get to that stage to then to get a feel for what they want to do with their lives. And then, okay, what's the next step? How do we help you make that a reality? So, you know, it's like anything, like there's steps, there's the, you know, ideation, there's the planning, there's the, you know, experimenting, there's all those things, but it's really about letting ourselves have the permission to do something more.
I love all of that. And we've often spoken on the podcast, and I really do speak to others about this too, that when we are children and we grow up, there's often that conversation around, what do you want to be when you grow up? And we plan in our mind what our life is going to look like, what the career is, when we're going to get married, how many kids we're going to have. I mean, we have it planned to a T, right? And then we get to midlife and we don't really plan for the next 40, 50 years. We just think, well, I'm going to get older. I'm possibly going to get sick. You know, this is the mentality that we have because this is the trajectory that I feel like life is going to take us on. But you're so right that we have an opportunity to leave a legacy. And, you know, it's funny, I feel very fortunate that when I had my daughter at 32, she was such a catalyst for me to reflect on my life and say, what do I want to leave in this world for her? What do I want to change? And what is my legacy? So I feel like I'm a little bit ahead of my years in having that pivotal moment. But you're so right. We've got an opportunity to leave a legacy here. And yes, we've done all the things that perhaps, as you say, systematically, but life isn't over. And we are in our greatest, most vibrant time in our 40s and our 50s. And we actually had another podcast with Emma Jones, who we will share the link to that episode, who also spoke about this and leaving a legacy. And she was specifically talking about leaving a legacy in the workplace and changing cultural mindsets and making shifts in the workplace, and how powerful that we could do that within our own personal life as well. So yeah, absolutely love that you share that and talk about that with the women that you work with too.
More from Tanya in a minute. Recently, we had the pleasure of chatting with Kirsty Strager of Nature's Health. We spoke about her journey and passion for women's health, harnessing nature's power for women's well-being, key areas addressed by Nature's Health products, and how to use supplements as part of existing health routines. Here's a little snippet from that wonderful episode.
A lot of people do unfortunately make the mistake where they wake up in the morning and they've got 12 supplements to take and they take them all in the first 5 minutes. Whereas actually you're supposed to spread your supplements throughout the day, and then depending on what you're taking that supplement for will depend on the time of day that you would take a supplement. So you wouldn't take a sleeping tablet the first thing in the morning, would you? No. So it's exactly the same. It's exactly the same thing. You look at them, you look at what each function of those supplements is supposed to be doing for you, and then you pick as a morning, afternoon, or an evening supplement.
You can listen to that brilliant chat by going to our podcast page on our website or subscribing to the show on your favorite podcast platform.
Okay, let's get back to our amazing guest, Tanya Rutherford.
Yeah, and you know, we're the first ones to sort of say, oh, you know, that's not, you know, I'm not that great, or I don't think I've got anything to offer. But to be honest, you know, we've, in many cases, we've created entire beings, we've cared for them, or we've cared for other people or our fur babies. We are, as a gender, we are nurturing. That is the whole idea of what our hormones are designing us to do. And even past that, okay, yes, we're still going to want to nurture and see change and things like that, but we can reframe what that looks like. And I think it's really powerful. And it's funny you say about having that thing of like, what do you want to do when you grow up? And it's almost like, and I know with some schools, and this is coming up, my education thing, is that they do still say, you've got one chance. Whereas I'm always saying, you've always got more opportunities. You can always go back. My girls, one of my youngest, Bonnie, she is going to be a vet on Mondays, a teacher on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And I'm not sure what she's doing the other 2 days, but you know, it's a completely different mindset. And I'm so excited when I see that, because it's that joy of like, I can be anything. And we need to really think about as well, the women that are coming after us. So let's make sure we've got these conversations out there. Let's make sure that they understand that these things happen and it's cool and it's not the end of the world, and we do survive, and so that it's better for them as well as better for us.
So good. And I have to laugh when you said that your daughter's doing different things on different days. My husband always says to me, I don't know what you do, Nat. You do so many different things. And I think that's a beautiful thing that we get to choose, and we don't have to have that typical status quo of this is what life needs to look like, or this is what my work needs to look like. And that's the power of coming into ourselves and into our body and just saying, stuff it. I'm living life on my terms, and this is it.
Yeah.
I think that's where the mindset, we're, you know, just listening to that conversation, we're setting ourselves up to fail a little bit, aren't we? Right from early on, and it's definitely got to change, you know. And we were just recording another podcast earlier today, and definitely, you know, just how the education is around understanding our own bodies, and you know, there's a lot more that's got to change where that's concerned as well. So many norms, and I say norms in talking marks, that need to change, because they really have set us up to fail in so many ways, and that's how moving forward the next generation, the generation after that, will really succeed so much better. Now, Tanya, we're coming to the end of the podcast, and we ask this question of all of our guests, and we would love to know from you. This podcast is all about power and finding, nurturing, and using our personal power as we transition through life phases in this perimenopause and beyond. We would love to know from your experience how you have come into your power.
Ooh, it's a good thing I'm having a good day today. I feel powerful today, so it's a good day to answer it. I think it's acknowledging that things are changing, and that is okay. and that you don't have to do it the way that other people have done it. You know, trying to set up, you know, start up a business, a lot of what is done and what is promoted works really well for someone who that's their solo focus. When you're a mum and, you know, you're also a fur baby mum and you're also, you know, trying to look after the home and you're also trying to start your business and you've got all these other things that you're doing, unless you embrace that it's going to be different and unless you give yourself the grace to do it the way that is going to work for you physically, emotionally, hormonally, all those things, you're just going to burn yourself out trying to be something that you're not. You know, for me, it was recognizing that I had to do things differently. I can learn all the stuff, but then I need to tailor it to fit who I am and how I work best. And I'm not the greatest at all the different parts of my business, but I love talking to women and I love talking about how we can support each other to make it better. So that's what I focus on, focusing on strengths and mitigating weaknesses is definitely the way to help empower yourself. And I guess also being open and seeking out other people who get you. So finding your folk, finding the ones that light you up and you light them up. And then you kind of, you have this whole thing of you're all building on each other and everyone walks away with so much more power, so much more confidence. And, you know, that's when the world becomes a better place.
So good. Here we are solving the world problems right here.
I do love that, that about the folk, Nat. I mean, both Nat and I can really nod our heads there around finding that folk that, you know, that you respond to and you get along with, because that's definitely been a very big element for us as we're getting a lot older and or more mature, however you want to say it. But it's really important. You know, life's too short to hang around with people that don't give you joy or, you know, make you feel awful or whatever. It's time's too short. As we've talked about here, we're busy. And so, yeah, surrounding the people with, you know, surrounding yourself with people that lift you up is so important. But I just loved that you brought that up, Tanya.
And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I've made a conscious decision that I'm not going to go back. Like if I decide to go into a job, it won't be as an employee. I will go back. I will go to a place as a consultant or as an advisor. But I've had to make the conscious decision because I know when I'm in employment situations, it doesn't work out well for me. I'm a very empathetic person and I tend to get negative situations happen for me. So I've been bullied in a lot of environments and, you know, things where I've cried before going to work every day. And I know that's not my jam. And it took me a long time to say, okay, I don't actually have to do it that way. I know that if I'm coming in as an advisor or a consultant, it's a completely different relationship. And it sets me up for success as well as whatever I'm working on. You know, it's giving ourselves the time to get to know who we are. It's difficult. Sometimes we need to have support to do that. But it's so important and it totally changed our lives. You know, we have so much to offer the world. It's such a waste to not let ourselves be who we need to be.
Yeah, so good. And I wanted to touch on around your comment about accepting where you are and making changes. And we often talk about that. And we know that there's a real fear for women to admit or acknowledge that they're in menopause because we know that there's a stigma around age and getting old. But whether you look at menopause or you just look at the decade that you're in, I mean, we change from our teenage years to our 20s, to our 30s, to our 40s, 50s, and we adapt. And we might do it subconsciously, but we're still adapting. And this is another time of our life where we do have to adapt. And I know that as we go through this phase, we do give less hoots about what people think about us. We lose that bullshit factor as well. And we've just got to tap into that. And you spoke earlier about the strength of being a woman and a natural nurturer. And And that is a real positive strength. And there are ways that we can harness that. I mean, there is that tend and befriend. We are always looking out for other people, but let's flip it back to us and let's give that nurturing back to us and tend and befriend ourselves as well. So yeah, you leave some really powerful tips there around acknowledging where you are, accepting the change, doing things on your terms, and surrounding yourself with great positive people that can really support you. And have just really loved the conversation around bringing our attention to women in regional areas and acknowledging that not enough is being done to support women, no matter where they're located. And we need to do that because, you know, the statistics out there are really alarming around women's experiences and what's happening. And it's a call to arms that we need to come together and bandy around together. So have loved having you on this podcast, Tanya, and sharing your wonderful wisdom and absolute passion. We love that. Where can our listeners connect with you?
So Queen Bee, as in queenbee.com.au. If you put community dot in front of that, that is our community space. And we have free resources. We have our podcast resources, and we also have our community, which we've got different levels. So we've got our basic level, which is $10 for life. And that's really so we can have a closed, safe space. So anyone can access the resources, but you actually need to commit to become part of the community. And then if you actually want to do more and, you know, go through the transformational phases and, you know, grow yourself, then we have different support levels involving courses and also coaching as well. And I guess just as a note as why community is important is we actually need support each other as women. One of the things that really gets to me in business is there's a lot of talk about who's your competitors, why are you better than them? We don't have to be better. We're all different. How do we work together? And that's one of the things I love about what I'm creating on Queen Bee is I don't have to create all the courses that are going to help women get to where they need to be because other women have created them. So let's bring them together. Let's celebrate what everyone is doing. And then all of us can find the one that fits best with us. There's 80,000 women every year starting their menopause journey. We don't have to fight over them. You know, we don't have to fight over selling jewelry or, you know, providing whatever service or selling products because there's so many people out there. We can find each other and we can come together and create something even bigger and better and reach more people and uplift each other at the same time. And I think that's one of the biggest things, whether it's in workplace or in our personal lives, is we need to support each other because we're doing it tough at different times and we don't need to do it alone.
Amazing. And speaking our language, collaboration over competition, right? And menopause is a huge topic and it's not going to change overnight, and it takes or will require a cultural, societal shift. Yeah. And we can only do it together. So, you know, really happy that our paths have crossed, Tanya, and love the work that you're doing, as I said before. But thank you so much for coming onto our podcast. We'll drop all of those links into the show notes.
Great. Thank you. And thank you so much, ladies. It's been lovely chatting with you. And I can't wait to have you on my podcast talking all the things mindfulness and menopause, which I think is something we all need to embrace a lot more and just giving ourselves permission to slow down.
Thanks so much, Tanya.
Well, there we have it, another episode of the Perimenopause Power Podcast, where we had a great conversation with Tanya Rutherford about the often not spoken about additional challenges of women in regional and remote areas. It was so insightful to hear of the added complexity for women in these areas. And this is a real call to arms that we must support and make healthcare and lifestyle support accessible for every single woman, no matter where she lives.
Feeling isolated in your menopausal journey? Join Let's Talk, a supportive community where we break the silence around menopause. We provide a safe space for women to connect, share experiences, and turn challenges into opportunities for growth and empowerment. Explore the latest research, wellness strategies, and expert advice with us. No woman should face menopause alone. Join Let's Talk for $99 per year and redefine your menopausal journey today.
Thanks for tuning in to Perimenopause Power. If you found today's episode empowering, don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Your journey through perimenopause just got a whole lot brighter.
And of course, we'd love to hear your thoughts, so leave us a review. Your feedback helps us empower even more women on this transformative journey. Until next time, keep embracing your perimenopause power.